Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody needs to make that confession of faith tonight. Say it.
I will never be the same. Not after being with you.
Up in my spirit. My family walks in the anointing of healing. I want you to say this. I came here sick, but when I leave, I'll be healed.
Changing.
I came here broke.
I came here broke.
get my granddaddy up these steps here.
Not after being with you.
Come on. I'm changing.
Oh, I'm changing, Lord. I won't ever be the same. Oh, no, 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 no. You've done something for me. You've done something for me. Fix me up. You turn me around. Oh, you planted my feet on higher ground. I won't ever be the same.
No,
just can't be the same. Just can't be the same. Been in my hand. I won't ever. I just won't ever.
Be
the
same. To be with you.
After being
I'm
with you.
I'm changing.
Yeah, yeah. After being with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Granddaddy, I know you're up in age, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
You're changing.
Yes, I'm changing.
Boy, Dickie Chance Odom, thank you for coming to the hottest Block Talk radio show. It's the Barbershop. I hope you guys are having a blessed evening. Thank you for coming. You could have been anywhere else, but you decided to come hang out with me tonight. Again, this is your boy, Dickie Chance Odom, and this is the hottest Block Talk radio show. We're going to go into another praise and worship, but when we come back, we're going to do a prayer, and we're going to do our foundation scripture for the Hottest Block Talk radio show. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom. Stand tuned. We get ready to give you some more music, and we're going to come back with, again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we're going to pray.
which is our foundation scripture that we
stand on the barbershop. Again, this is the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show, the barbershop. I am your host, Deacon Chance Odom. My co-host, Pastor Jerome Pittman, is not here with us today, so y'all keep his family lifted up in prayer. We know he's been busy today, and he's back running his, doing his detail business, which is a blessing. He's a hustler. He's a go-getter. So we just asking you guys just keep him lifted up, him and his family, as he goes down the dangerous highways going home. Again, let's talk about it. The topic is going to be I'm My Brother's Keeper. I think the last two Wednesdays we had an awesome show. We discussed what the role, what the things that we're going to be talking about. I said last week we're going to be talking about fatherless homes. Family, you know, why they would, you know, the thing, the whatever you want to call it, when they say a man ain't supposed to cry, you know, there's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about. What happens to kids, the stats on when a father leaves the home, what happens to the daughters or the sons, how much it impacts on their lives and other people in their lives in that relationship or whatever. We know that the man is supposed to be the head of the house. You know, God, he gave us authority over the land. And like I said, you know, I include myself that we have dropped the ball. And it's sad. And we wonder why these things are going on in the earth. It's because of man. Man is not living to the standard where God called him to be. And God called all men great. But we know there's some out there people don't understand and wouldn't believe that some men, they just don't care. You know, they don't believe in Christ. You know, the atheists, men and women. But we know that God is real. Which I know he's real because I have an intimate personal relationship with him. You know, and I encourage all men to have that personal relationship with Christ because we need each other. I am the CEO and founder of the barbershop, and this is a platform where men that can come and express themselves no matter what you know, your color, your creed, your nationality, your, you know, whether you save or not save, you know. And we encourage you guys because we know that we can sit here and act like we got it going on. But then when we get behind them four walls, we don't have no one to turn to. We cry. You know, we get in that depression state. We want to turn to drugs. We want to turn to alcohol. You know, we want to do things to try to make the pain go away. And that pain is not going to go away unless we step up to the plate and admit that we have a problem. You know, you can get off drugs. You can get off alcohol. You can stop smoking. My thing is, it's a mindset. You know, the only thing you have to do is change your mind. Change your mindset of how you do things. And I'm speaking from experience because, like, you know, I've told my testimony a couple of times this week about being on drugs. This past February, mate, I think 15, 16 years that I've been clean. And it was a process. But I didn't go to no rehab. I didn't go to no counseling. The only counselor that I sought was our Heavenly Father. I got on my knees and I opened with a sincere heart because I was sincere about it that I didn't want to do it anymore. You know, because, you know, that fast life, fast, you know, like they say, fast life, fast women. You know, I've done it all. You know, I said before, I've been on the corner with cocaine in my pocket, fat knots in my pocket, running to women in and out my apartment. You know, on a day that I didn't have one. But, you know, as you get older, you know, they say that you, the Sinclair's, how you pronounce it. That, yeah, as you get older, you're supposed to get wiser. And to some, it that happens. some it don't. You know, I just got to the point where I got tired of doing it. Because the last time I done it, I had Jezebel and I went to hang out with my boys. And, you know, when we get together, we, you know, we did what we do. We cooked on the grill. We played spades. We played dominoes. We, you know, it was just a family thing that, you know, what we done when we got together. And it was to the point where I remember getting in the truck with my best friend, his wife, and his sister. But after that, I don't remember anything else. All I know, I was in my bed. And that's when I woke up in the middle of the night and I cried out to God asking him, you got to deliver me. You got to take this taste out my nose. You got to take this taste out my mouth because I'm done. I can't do it. And then I told people, even when during that storm, the Lord still had his hands over me. You know, being in one of the roughest neighborhoods in Raleigh and seeing things and seeing stuff that you would think you would see on TV, but seeing it in real life, you know, gunshots right around the corner where I get my haircut, used to get my haircut from. I'm waiting to go to work, and I heard a couple of rounds go off, and next thing I know, I hear police sirens flying, coming up down my street, round the corner, headed over to the St. Olaf. That saying, a young man got killed standing right there on the corner. This is real, that's why, I thank God for giving me this platform to open up to where men can come and express themselves. So again, they said a man is not supposed to cry. But my thing is, what if you lose a loved one? What if you lose your wife? Or you lose your girlfriend? Or you lose a child? You lose one of your parents? Or your grandparents, or your sister, or your brother. You know, you telling me not to cry, but, men have feelings too. And as coming up, that's all we was told, that we weren't supposed to cry. So I think that's why, just my opinion, that a lot of men hold stuff in because they're afraid what the next man gonna say. But I can tell you this, I will respect you more when you come to me, dude, when you got problems, or you need somebody to talk to. I just want to vent. I would respect you more than you going home, drinking yourself to death, getting high, doing drugs, trying to ease the pain. When them drugs ain't going to ease the pain. Alcohol, it'll ease it for it. It's a temporary fix. You know, I told God, I don't want no temporary fix when it comes to the drugs. I want to be clean completely. I don't want to get high no more. I don't want to drink no more. And I'm trying to tell you, that's a good feeling, because at first when I started, quit getting high, it was rough. But each day was a monument day for me. Okay, I did one day, I can do two. Two came, three came. My level was starting to grow. Okay, I made it this far. I had people to tempt me. And sometimes I tempted myself, messing with my boys. Let me get some of that. Man, you better go on away from here. You know you don't do that no more. I ain't giving you none of this. And that's when I realized the guys that I hang around with were my true brothers. Now, I know some that really tried it. Come on, Chance, you can do it. Come on, man. One more time, ain't going to hurt. Nah, I'm sitting there thinking, nah, you ain't my friend. If you trying to get me to go back to drugs, no, it's not going to happen. I'm done with it. I done blew too much money on. I done seen too much stuff, and it's not healthy to the body. I tell anybody, it's mind over matter. Some folks can't help it. Their body just done got too immune to it. That literally died when they came off of it, because their system had done been, obtained all that toxic, But again, I encourage you guys to seek Christ, to seek the Lord and Savior, because he can bring you through it. And he brought you to it, he can bring you through it. I know he done it for me. I can tell anybody, if he cleaned me up, he can clean anybody up. Because at one point, I couldn't stand myself. And that's sad, but it's true. I couldn't stand myself. It was all about me when I went through that bad divorce. I didn't care. I'm hurt, and I'm going to hurt other people. Like I said, hurt people hurt other You know, I didn't want, you know, it was all about me. I was being selfish. And I know the spirit of selfishness is not of God. So I thank him for taking me through those storms and those trials and tribulations. Because it has made me the man that I am today. Am I perfect? No. Am I still seeking his faith? Of course. You know, why not? You know, just because everything so far is good on me, I'm supposed to stop praising him. No, I'm going to praise him when everything is good as well. Not just when it's bad. No, I praise him in the good times. Because, hey, I thank him every morning when I get up. Because, like I said, right now, we here. Seem to be pronounced dead right now. Someone could have got shot and killed right now. Somebody could have committed suicide. Somebody could have been in a car accident. We never know what someone is going through. So I encourage you guys to, you know, to come out and join the barbershop. You know, I'm not asking for no tithe offering. I'm just asking you to come and listen. You don't have to say nothing. You say when you're ready. I'm not pressuring nobody to come up here, because if there's nobody here, I'm still going to do my show. I'm going to still be obedient. Just like tonight, I was running a little late, but the Lord told me to keep going. I had to get my little man to sleep. I had things I had to do, you know, but I still pressed on. I wanted to stop. I didn't want to do it. But I said, no, I got to do it, because I don't know if there's someone listening on Facebook, Twitter, you know, they could be listening on the blog live instead of calling in. So I made my way on into my office, and I'm doing it. And I feel good about that I pressed my way to do it, because I know I've seen times when I didn't want to do nothing, and I pressed my way through, and the Lord blessed me. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it, Lord. Even though there's no one here, I'm going to still do it. You know, but like I said, I can't tell who's listening to it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you know, some of the social media that I have accounts on, but it's all good. You know, like my thing is, the ones that's here, they're supposed to be here. The one that's not here, then that's fine. And then the barbershop still must go on. You know, because I know people can go back and listen to it. They can replay it, which is fine. And so, again, you know, this is what the barbershop is all about, where you can come in and relax and you can vent. You can get things off your chest. You won't be judged. You won't be ridiculed. Because I have no heaven or hell to put you in. I can't judge you. I'm not God. Mm-mm. I'm one of his soldiers. I'm his child. You know, I can encourage you, uplift you, and support you, and be there. But you know, I can't put you in heaven or hell. You know, and like I said, you know, it's a lot of things that's going on out in the earth. And like I said 3 minutes ago, it's because us as men, and I include myself, we have dropped the ball. I know I dropped the ball several times, but I picked it up and kept it. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, for the last couple of days, I've been looking at videos and reading articles and stuff about what's going on, about these senseless murders. And, you know, it's sad, you know. But like he told me, the Bible is repeating itself. You know, because back in the biblical days, people were murder, committing suicide, doing things that people are doing today. And we as Christians or spiritual beings, that we supposed to uplift our brothers and sisters, whether they saved or not. Because none of us was born saved. We were all born sinners. And I think some folks just think that they don't do no wrong. But my thing is, you haven't been caught by man, but God is forever looking, and he's writing things, got angels is writing things down in his book. So, you know, like I said, you know, it's a lot of things we're going to talk about. The main thing, I'm my brother's keeper. And I have the heart of my brothers. You know, because at one time I used to get upset when they just didn't see it. Like, why they just don't see it? Why they just don't understand? And I remember what my grandma said, you know, some things are not meant to understand at that moment, But in due time, God will reveal to you these things, why people don't understand, why people are not getting or seeing what you're seeing. Because some people right now can't go where I'm going. And I've learned, and I understand that, just like the other day I posted on my page, I asked God, if they're not for me, remove them out the way. Because we know there's some that all they come to do is like the devil, seek, kill, and destroy. You know, people don't understand that there's demonic spirits and angels that walks the face of this earth. You know, but we have to understand it's real. You know, you could sit there and say, oh, that's my boy there, but, you know, behind closed doors, as soon as you turn your back, he might be saying some things to you that you don't even know about. I'm just keeping it real. You know, and it's sad that, you know, I've been plenty of times I done called the brothers out, even to come to my page and check it out, even to come on a barbershop. And it's sad that we sit here and we get all upset about things, but then when it comes to supporting a brother, you don't want to support them. You don't want no parts of it. But then when you come up with some ideas or events or shows, you want everybody to come to yours, but you don't want to support the other one. And one of the things that, you know, I'm going to discuss is still talking about am I brother's keeper. It's how we sit here and we get mad and upset. I'm not saying it's right for what they're doing when cops killing innocent men. I'm not saying it is right, but it's sad that when soon as a white cop kill a black man, first thing we run and we pull the race card. But when we sit here letting these gangs, our own blacks, kill each other, we don't protest. We don't say nothing about that. You know, like I said, I'm not condoning what a white cop do, but you got to understand. So we got to be careful what we let them social media, even the news, I'm telling you, everything dictate how we feel. Because I know today I seen something, and they got the Black Panthers back out. They walk around with guns. You know, there's nothing wrong with protecting your household, your family. Nothing wrong. But we know sometimes the gun gets in the wrong person's hand. I'm not saying that everybody that has a gun are bad people, because we know we got good people that want to protect their family no matter what. And they going to do it. But like I said, then we got ones who want the guns, you know, to do evil. So I'm just saying. You know, and it's sad that, you know, we can't go jogging, we can't do this, we can't go to church without somebody coming in the church, shooting up the church. But then again, you know, we be talking on my other show, the barbershop still, but, you know, why we don't talk about what goes on in the church. There's a lot of things that goes on in the church that goes on in the street, but we don't want to talk about it. But we quit to point fingers and judge folks. But when we realize when you point one finger, understand that you got three more pointing back at you. It's like the other day, I asked God one day to explain, show me church folks. And I learned that you have to be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And you know, as we was coming up, I know me personally, I didn't think that the thing that goes on in the church, that goes on in the church. Because as we was coming up, you know, we kids, we didn't see those things. We didn't hear about those things, but they was kept on the hush-hush. You know, like I said, a closed mouth don't get heard. That's part of what, you know, hey, what they don't know won't hurt. Y'all know that motto, what people say, what they won't know won't hurt. But I beg to differ, because eventually the person that you out to hurt or you have hurt, they gonna find out. You know, like I said, when you do something wrong, it just don't affect you. It affects everyone around you, everyone that you love. you know, we have to be careful on the decisions we make. And I'm talking to the brothers. You know, it's one thing I know. I don't get mad because you mad or how, or my opinion, I'm not going to be mad or what your opinions are. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. You know, us as men, it's time for us to step our game up. It literally is. You know, like I said, we can go to the barbershop, we can do this, we can do this, but when it comes down to supporting your brother, you don't want no parts of it. And it's sad, because like I said before, you know, I reached out to some ministers that I even went to school with. Let's put something together where we can show the young men that it ain't all about standing on the corner slinging dope. It ain't all about playing football, basketball, baseball. It ain't all about that. They can do things to be professional and successful without doing those things. And it's sad that we push that, we embed that in their brain. That's what you got to do. That's what's going to get you up out of here, out of the project, out of the whatever situation is. But we got to understand, academics can get a young man out of the hood as well. You ain't always got to be the dope game or being an athlete or being an actor. Your academics can get you up out of the hood. You know, I remember one guy, I used to work with this guy, he said when he was growing up, people used to pick at him because he liked to draw. Oh, man, that drawing ain't going to get you nowhere. You know, and I know people that tell kids that drawing ain't going to get you nowhere, but that's a lie. Draw on a computer, become a graphic designer. You can become an architect. You can draw blueprints for buildings and houses. But people don't want to, you know, you do the little stuff like that, and then, oh, man, that ain't going to get you nowhere. Again, then you got social media that glorifies all these athletes and stuff like that and actors, but then when you turn around, they done some dirt. You know, I was looking at that thing with Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, and then some of the stuff he said, you see how the people that he used to play with come out, and I'm like, yo, you talking like that about us? And a lot of people said Mike was selfish. You know, Mike had his ways as well. You know, but hey, that's what some athletes are. You know, they that money go to their head. That the love of money destroys people. And people don't understand that it's the love of money that destroys people. The love of money. Because when you die, you can't take it with you. Because soon you tell them to put it in the casket with you, you can best believe. When everybody gone from the grave site, somebody gonna go in there and dig that money, take that money right out your casket, and go spend it. I'm just keeping it real. You know, I'm talking to my brothers. It's time for us to step up. You know, if you call yourself a man, be a man. Start acting like you hard. Then you get behind them closed doors, you hurting like crazy. Because you afraid of what somebody else gonna say. You know, it's sad. We can't be like this all the time. We really have to step our game up, and it's sad that we don't. You know, because we're afraid what somebody's going to say. You know, like I said, they talked about Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. What makes you think they ain't going to talk about you? He dead and gone. They still talking about him. You still on earth, and they talking about you. Forget what they talking about. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Olin. I am the host of the hottest block talk radio show, The Barbershop. We're going to go into some old praise and worship. We come back, and we're just going to keep it. We're going to keep it moving. This is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Olin. This is the hottest block talk radio show, The Barbershop.
Somebody just say, I got confidence.
I got so much faith in you. Lord, I trust your word is true. Out of the circumstance, my life is in your hand. And I got confidence, so much confidence in you. Your love has been so good.
My heart is in your hand. You hold the master plan. And I've got confidence, so much confidence in you. I've got confidence, so much confidence in you. And I love this part, it says that your ways are
Cobb with confidence. Tasha Cobb, Luna, confidence. Again, this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom. Welcome to the hottest block talk radio show, it's the Barber Shop. Let's talk about it again today. We're talking about I'm My Brother's Keeper. It's a whole lot that we can talk about and discuss. But, you know, I'm like this. No matter what you do, if you don't support me in this, that's fine. If you do, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because I know everybody's not going to receive this. You know, at one time it did hurt me that we sit here, we talk about these things that going on. But when it comes to putting the things together and no one's want to take the responsibility of doing it, and, you know, and it's sad that, you know, we get at each other's throat, you know, we don't support one another, you know, we downing each other, and it's just sad that, you know, we wonder why other race do what they do to us. It's because of what we do to our own people. You know, it's sad that we got to bicker at each other, don't want to support each other, but then when another race or somebody do something to us, we ready for the race card. I'm sorry, you call it what you want, but it is true. But we still have to understand that it's just not white cops killing innocent black people. You got black cops, Hispanic cops, any other nationality cops killing innocent people. I was looking at on Facebook the other day, this couple of guys got arrested, cops now, working in Baltimore on some kind of gun money task force. And it was a couple of brothers up there, and there was a couple of Hispanic dudes. The white, you know, white guy was the, you know, the captain or sergeant or whatever. Then he got something right up under him. But they were sitting here stealing money from the dope boys, setting people up, planting drugs and guns on them, arresting them, and then trying to get you and talking about you ain't have no seatbelt on. And there's one thing that I like this young black guy said, you know, they don't mess with the ones who pull out the cameras or know their rights. And again, you better know your rights. Because a lot of these things that these cops saying, they lying to you. Because it's just like a dog, for instance. A dog can smell fear. And believe me, the way some of these cops is today, they smell fear. They know when you intimidate, or they know when you nervous. Because, you know, you get the shaking, you know, they can sense it. And that's some, a lot of them cops, I ain't going to say a lot, but majority, some, that's all they look for. See, can they intimidate you? When they see they can intimidate you, then, like I said, just like a pit bull, they smell blood, they going for the jugular, and they going to shake until you're dead. It's just like the alligators. When they get a hold of you, they do that death roll. That's what cops do. You know, we got to understand that we got rights. You ain't going to sit here and violate my rights. But then you want to get mad when things go wrong. Again, we're talking about a white cop killing a black young black man. It's sad. I don't condone it. But why we don't stand up for, like, all them killings going on in Chicago and Detroit, all these gangs, black-on-black crime. We don't ever want to holler about that. But we are quick to play that race card, though. We quick to play that race card real quick. But like I said, like the bad cops in Baltimore. You know, I don't feel no sorry for them. I mean, because, you know, that just shows you how the police is up. They stick together. They actually stick together. They do that code, that brother code. They do. They look out for one another. In the same way with the young guy who got killed in Atlanta. You know, we still talking about my brother's keeper. These are the things that's going on, and we wonder why they going on, because it still come back to the man is not doing what he's supposed to do. Stand up for what's right. Stand up, protect his home. Stand up for each other. It don't always have to be about violence or life for life, like he used to say, an eye for an eye. No, it's not always like that. You know, because, you know, when you got these rich folks, you can hit them in their pockets. You start taking their money away from them, hey, they can't stand it. So, but we sit here and we do all this and do all this. If that's going on in the neighborhood, won't you protest? Stop spending your money in their business. We got a bunch of black folks that got successful, strong business. You know, yeah, we got blacks that won't always want a freebie, always want their hand out. No. If that's your business, you have the right to, no, I'm not giving you no freebies. I'm not going to keep giving you no hookup. It ain't like you bringing me business. It's not. And it's sad. But it's still, we still talking about I'm my brother's keeper. We got to help one another. You know, because we, you know, to the brothers in Christ, the saved brothers, we ain't always been saved. So what's wrong with reaching back and grabbing a brother and helping them? It ain't for us to judge them or beat them up. It's for us to help them. It don't have to always be about money. You know, if you see something that he's doing wrong and you know, you can give him a little advice. Look, how about try this way? You know, because my thing, when I was coming up and I seen a black man that's got something nice, I ain't never get jealous. I want to know, how did you do it? You know, show me. It ain't about being jealous. You know, if he can do it, I can do it. We just have to set our mind to doing it. And start thinking every time we turn around, we always got to have a handout. We got to hook me up, give me a freebie. It don't work like that all the time. Okay, if you support my business, I'm going to support yours. That's the way I look at it. Because you didn't have to come to my business, or you didn't have to come to my show. You didn't have to use the services and stuff that I have. But you took the time out to come and listen. And if you got a show, I'm going to come listen to yours. You got a business and you got something that I need, I'm going to come. Yeah, if I got to pay, I'm going to pay. If you hook me up, fine. That's cool and dandy. That's fine and dandy. But I'm not going to always come with my hands out, want something free. Nah. Because I know that's your business. You got a family to take care of. Well, I would want to come in and you can get something for free. That's taken from your household. That's taken from you feeding your kids or paying your bills. Not right. We shouldn't be like that. Like I said, we should support one another. It's always start going with our hand now. Man, let me get this. Yo, I ain't got. Nah, bro, I can't do that, man. I got a family to take care of. You know, we got some folks got kids in college. Man, I can't be doing that. Man, I got children in college. You think I'm going to keep giving you every time I turn around? You talking about you short? Nah, bro, it don't work like that. But, you know, that happens. Again, we talking about my brother's keeper. We got to support one another. You know, we got to be there for one another. You know, we got a lot of brothers out here that's hurt, and we got a lot of brothers in church that's hurt. You know, men get emotional too. Men got feelings too. That's why I thank God for giving me this opportunity to do the barbershop, where men can come express themselves without being judged or beat up on or called all kinds of names. You know, it's sad when we beat a brother when they down. When you were down, did nobody beat you up? You had some folks that were there for you. So why you can't turn around and do for somebody else? Nothing wrong with having that strong support system. You know, something, even when you're married, you still got to have that strong support. I mean, your wife is there, that's cool. That's fine and dandy. She always going to be there. But there's something that you want to, you know, share with another brother. What you going through? You know, it's just like when our daughters grow up. We can't teach them or talk to them how to be a woman. You know, that's what our wives and our sisters and our aunts and our grandmama, you know. It's like, you know, a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. So, I mean, we have to support one another. Again, you know, next week we're going to be talking about what happens when a man is not in the home. How does it affect the entire family? How does it affect? Because we make a mistake, it just don't affect one person. It affects the whole household. And I've seen some of the statistics of a fatherless home. You guys, man, I'm trying to tell you, y'all would be amazed to see the percentage of categories of when a man leaves the home. But then again, a man can still be in the house and not be there. He can be there physically, but mentally and emotionally, he's not there. So we're going to be talking a lot about this, because it's a lot of stuff that men need to talk about and men need to know, and stop being afraid talking about these things. You know, we have to talk about them. We have to step our game up. You know, like I said, I know I'm not perfect. I'm striving to do right. I'm striving to move forward. You know, I don't worry about what people say about me. You know, I forgive and keep it moving. I love you with a long silver spoon. I love you from across the street or around the block or from another country. You know, but hey, you got folks that sometimes you got to be like that towards them, all the way down to family members. You know, but we, as men, we got to understand it's time for us to step our game up. You know, I'm stepping mine up slowly but surely every single day, because my little man will be 4 months tomorrow. And this little guy is growing up fast. For my son to be 4 months tomorrow, he has a personality that is so strong. Very alert about things. Some days where I be like tired, and just to see him smile just make you like, man, no matter what, he's still smiling. You know, he getting his little ways. You know, that's understandable. Like I say, he got a personality of his own now. The other day he was trying to, he was holding his milk bottle by itself. 3 months old. I'm like, yo, this kid, he growing up fast. And I don't want to miss none of it. So I'm daring every single day. Okay, we got a call of 6317-6317. Caller, you on the air.
What's up, bro?
What up, Pastor Jay?
What's happening?
Ah, man, I'm nothing. Just going on with the flow, brother. Just going on with the flow.
All right, now.
How was your day?
Get it in, bro.
I figure you got caught in that Raleigh traffic again today.
Yeah, I was up there today as well.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It ain't as bad.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's fine. It ain't as bad since, you know, they got COVID mess up.
Yeah.
It ain't as bad as what it could be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody good. How about y'all?
We good. As soon as I get through with this, I got another, going to start on another lesson. I had an exam, was it last night, night before last? I got an 80, and I checked my grades, classes, I, you know, exams I've taken. My grade average is a 93.
Well, good.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
That's
about
good.
That. Yeah, I think I got like three more courses in my first class. Then I can go on back to my second course. So hopefully by this weekend, by Monday, I'll be done finish up everything in my first class.
All right, now. That's very good. You can do anything you put your mind to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the more and more I do it, the more and more excited I get now. I know I'm going through the little preliminaries and the little easy ones. I'm ready to do the multiple big ones now. I'm ready to dig down into the psychology part now, but I know it'll be a while before I get to that part, but I'm excited about it, see how it's going to work out.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, y'all, this is my co-host, Pastor Jerome Pittman. We're talking about I'm my brother's keeper. Again, like I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with us supporting each other, because we know as men, you know, we don't socialize a lot. You know, when we don't recognize when someone is going through. And, you know, the first time somebody might come to you, might say, "Oh man, stop being a punk, stop being soft," you know, but they're really going through, they're really hurting. It's not, you know, it's sad that we call them names when they're going through. You know, to me, I just for instance, my boy from Atlanta years ago was going through. And he came down one weekend, he drive trucks, and he was just telling me the things he had went through. You know, we were sitting there just talking and enjoying, all of a sudden he just stood up and said, "I can't take it no more. I'm hurting. I got to talk about it." And he just started crying. He was telling me everything that was going on in his life, his marriage, you know, with his family. And when it was all said and done, I told him, "Look, bro, I respect you more now than I ever did before. It's because you admitted that you were going through something. You admitted that you couldn't do it by yourself. I just need somebody to listen so I can vent. I was like, wow. I said, hey, I'm here for you. Whenever you want to vent, hey, I'm here. When you got to do it, pick up the phone. And that's the thing we need, because we never know what someone is going through. You know, as men, we try to hold it in, act like we got it going on. But deep down inside, we hurting like crazy. But like I said, but again, we just afraid of what the other brother's going to say. You know, like, you know, to me, if they really your friends, they're going to be there and they're going to tell you the truth. And they're going to sit there and they're going to listen. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to beat you across the head. You know, they're going to sit there and really beat up for you. But if they sit there and start, man, come on, stop being like that, dog. That's soft. That's sweet. They ain't your friends. You know, I truly believe true friends, true brotherhood will be there for you no matter what the situation is. And that's where us as men have to get back to. We got to get back to supporting one another, being there for each other. Because in this day and time, we need it. All this stuff that's going on out here in this world, we need each other. You know, iron sharpens iron, and people just don't, well, men just don't understand. We need each other. To be there to support, to be there, you know, be there. You know, because as we was kids growing up, you know, we would always be there for each other. But now we done got to the point we got older, you know, a lot of guys get selfish. I've done it before. I've been selfish. When I got punched in the face about being selfish, I had to sit back like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, okay, you don't want to admit, you know, man, I was like, man, yeah, I was kind of selfish. Okay. But selfish. Selfish. No matter it could be big, little, small, selfishness is still selfish. And we have to get out of it. We have to be there, you know, especially, you know, the ones that got kids. We have to be there no matter what. You know, we're going to talk about that too. How do you get through that situation, want to be there for your kids, and the mom, the baby mama is not letting you. Or we're going to talk about why you leave your kids high and dry. You know, we're going to talk a lot about that, you know, in the upcoming week. But I just encourage you guys to really sit back and evaluate yourself as being a man or being a brother to another brother and being a father to your kids and being a husband to your wife. You know, we got to look at all these things in that area of our life. Because all of them can be fixed. All of them, in all areas, we can change and become strong. You know, some of us need some real strong support. And there's nothing wrong with asking another brother, you know, let them know what you're going through. And, you know, you never know what they went. They might have went through it. And they could be there to help you. You know, it's about, you know, holding each other accountable for the things that we've done or what we have. And even when it comes to men, we got to learn how to forgive. You know, it's okay to, you know, you done something wrong. You don't have to be macho man all the time. You know, there's nothing wrong with expressing how you feel. That don't make you soft. To me, it don't. It makes you strong because you admit that you got a problem. You going through something. Hey, I just can't do it. That's just not, I need, you know, it's okay. It's okay to express yourself without being judged and beat up on. That's what the barbershop is here for. Again, to all the ones that's on social media, number is 914-219-0903. 914-219-0903. Press 1. We'll call out to ask for a minute. Pastor Jay, you have any advice for the brothers?
Well, I mean, you pretty much hit the nail on the head, you know. You hope people be as good a friend to you as you are to them. But, you know, sometimes it don't play out that way, you know. It is what it is, you know. You know, so, you know, what we got to do, we got to, you know, got to try to be there for each other as much as we can. But, you know, how much is that? You know, because you fellas are so closed off and keep their feelings to themselves and you know how you got that pride, open up, think they're weak, and you're really not, you know, because everybody going through something, and we don't come together to help each other and learn how to grow from one another, then we find an endless battle. So, you know, we got to be able to be to look out for one another, to help instill in one another. Your weakness might be my strength. My weakness might be your strength. But we don't come together and pour into each other, help encourage and motivate one another, then, you know, we're a dying breed. So, you know, the phone line ought to be lit up with a bunch of phone calls, a bunch of brothers that want to come together in unity, you know. But they put other things, you know, before what they really need to help build self-worth in yourself. Because you got to be able to build within yourself so that you can grow, so that you can help somebody else. And what better way to build than get with a bunch of brothers and help encourage each other and find out each other's weaknesses and help each other grow. You know, that's my intake. And, you know, and hopefully, you know, we get some fellas want to come in, want to be a part, so we can start the building process and start the healing process, to go out here and witness to the young brothers and help get the young brothers and mentor them, and help instill in them the right way to do things, the right direction to go, you know. But we'll see. You know, we keep praying about it.
Yeah. You know, and that's so true to everything that you said, you know, because like I think I said last week, or I said Monday also, that I don't know how it feels to not have your dad in your life. And I can just imagine you got a lot of kids these days now that their dad is not there, what's going on in their mind, you know, because like I said the other night, I think, you know, as kids, they think they were the problem because of their parents split up, or because the daddy left, or because the mama's not there, and that's not true. But that's what they think, and I think as parents, we really should sit down and talk with our kids and explain to them, especially when you're going through a separation or divorce. Sit down and talk to them, because that's the first thing when that happens. The first thing a child thinks that they was the problem. Because I know when my parents, we was like, what did we do? Or why is this happening? You know, we were never told. I didn't find out until like I was in my early 40s or mid 40s what happened. You know, and just like I said the other day, a couple of weeks ago, it was years ago I met this guy when I was in, used to go to this men's Bible study, and men's, you know, group. That a guy was 63 years old was by his dad not being in his life when he was young. And this man was 63 years old. I'm like, wow. So I can, you know, I can't imagine if a man 63, how he felt that his dad wanted in his life. Just imagine a kid that's 5 and 6 years old, how it's affected them. You know, because a lot of this stuff, men not being in these kids' life, kids go to drugs, drop out of school, and commit suicide. And there's things like that they don't want to talk about. They don't want to discuss, but it's real. Even when the girls, when their dad leave the house, they figure having a baby, they find love having a baby. All because the man decided to leave the house. But then we can't always blame them, because we know there's some women out there that don't want, it's guys that want to be in their kid's life, but the mom don't want him in the life. You know, I experienced that, you know, want to be in my child's life, but you're going to get mad at me and want to do this to me. But these guys who's not in the kid's life, oh, you let them get away with calling you all kinds of names, beat up on you. But me being respectful to you, you know, because you're the mother of my child, then for you to bend over and tell me to kiss your behind, but the other guys who treat you like crap oh, you let them get away with it. And it's men that's going through stuff like this, but don't know how to talk about it because, you know, like we said, they wear that pride and ego in a way. They don't, you know, they don't know how to about in this up and coming shows that this is what men go through. But they just don't want, they don't want to open up. You know, they, you know, just like we said, they feel like they weak. You know, people going to think they weak, they soft, because they expressing themselves. But the whole while, that stuff like that can lead to depression. That stuff right there can lead to suicide. You know, these are the things that we got to talk about. We got to, you know, there's nothing wrong with brothers getting together and enjoying themselves, having a good time. You know, go out to eat, talk about stuff, life. Just, you know, just get away and hang out with the brothers. And I'm about like you, Pastor. I'm praying that day happens where we can just get along together and just have a good time and talk. Because like we say, we never know what another brother is going through until we talk. Because if we don't say nothing, how are we supposed to help you if you're not going to open your mouth? So I'm looking forward to the upcoming shows. I mean, it's a lot that can be talked about amongst men. You know, just like you said, Pastor Jay, this line ought to be lit up. Calling in, knocking folks out, trying to get in, or sending messages on Messenger. Hey, but, you know, like you said, they just see fit. They want to do what they want to do. But then when that time comes, they they getting jammed up or hemmed up, then they were like, oh, should have been talked about. You know, so I'm praying that more come, more listen. Like I said, I don't know who's listening to on Facebook or any social media because it don't give me the numbers. But if you're listening, you know, like I said, we say it all the time. Call in and press 1. Nothing wrong with getting into the conversation because you don't know my story. You don't know Pastor Jay's story. Storm that you can be going through, one of us could probably already have been through it. But like I said, we never know until you open up your mouth. And, you know, like I said, you come here, we don't judge nobody. We don't. We don't talk behind your back. We're going to sit here and show you so much love that you're going to want to come back. You know, that's how the show is. It's to the point where you can come like, you know what? I enjoyed it. I got some of this stuff off my chest. Now I feel comfortable. More I want to talk about. That's what the barbershop is all about. Like I said, you can go to the real barbershop when you get a haircut. You talk about everything on the face of this earth. Don't know them guys, half of the guys you see in them. All the reason why you know, because you go to the same barbershop. But again, you know, I encourage you guys to, you know, come listen. We're not going to beg you to listen. We're not going to beg you to talk. Hey, you come, you don't. But we encourage you to come because you're going through something. We here to listen. We here to show love. That's the main thing. Two of the things I like, we listen and we show love. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with talking to another brother about what you're going through in life. You know, just like Pastor Jay said all the time, we all got a story to tell. We listen. We don't interrupt you when you tell your story. We don't interrupt you when you tell your testimony. We don't interrupt you when you express how you feel. We listen. And we show love. Again, we encourage anyone that's on social media, you know, just check us out. Again, the number is 914-219-0903. Again, you know, this is the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Deacon Chance Odom. My co-host is Pastor Jerome Pittman. It's Wednesday. I wish you guys enjoy the rest of y'all week. Enjoy the weekend. It's about time for me to shut it down. I got some exams to take. And, man, this going back to school thing is something else, but I'm enjoying it. Oh, Pastor Jay, your godson will be 4 months tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
Hey, you get that picture where he was holding the holding his milk bottle by himself?
Yeah, I saw that. Saw that. Yeah, he ain't gonna be a baby long.
No, he ain't gonna be no baby. All
right. He gonna be running around telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Just like today, we were sitting there, we were watching Mutant Ninja Turtles today, and he sat right there and was watching. I mean, didn't move. He sat there, do his normal thing, make spit bubbles, but he was calm and just sitting there watching TV. I'm like, okay, you like that? Now I know if we come back on again, you'll sit there and watch it. But, you know, he's a blessing. I won't change that. But like I said, on some days I be tired, don't feel like doing that. Wake up and see his face and he grinning, he smiling. I was like, okay, it's time to keep it moving. He'll light up anybody day when he smiles with them big old fat cheeks.
More fat on.
He's going to be something else when he get bigger. He got a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Too, so we're going to see how much he done stretched out, how much weight he done gained. And he got to be pushing about 14 now. He got to.
Right.
Yeah, but like I said, he's a blessing to us. And, you know, we doing what parents do, make sure he got what he needs. So, this is your boy, Deacon Chance Oldman, my co-host, Pastor Jerome Pittman. Like I said, I invite you guys to come back next Wednesday, which is May the 20th. Again, we still going to be talking about I'm My Brother's Keeper. We're also going, so the guys, whoever listening on Facebook, get prepared. We're going to talk about fatherless home. What can we do to help another brother out? You know, just, you know, uplift. So if you on Facebook, so any social media, invite someone. I mean, that's all we ask. All we do is invite. If we invite you, you come. We thank you. If you don't come, we'll still say thank you and pray that one day you will come and listen. And don't wait till that time when you really, I mean, just come. You know, like we said, we listen and we show love. So this is your boy, Deacon Chauncey Odom, my co-host, Pastor Jerome Pittman. You guys have a blessed night. Enjoy the rest of your week. And I'll see y'all Sunday and Monday of next week. This is the Hottest Block Talk Radio Show, The Barbershop. Y'all have a good night. Peace.
Good night.
This is your boy, Deacon Chance Odom. Y'all have a blessed night. Take care. Good night.